We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yona. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, Kol HaMechabed Et HaTorah, Gufo Mechubad Al HaBeriot. Whoever honors Torah, so his body is honored by God's creations. Kol HaMechalel Et HaTorah, and whoever desecrates Torah, Gufo Mechulal Al HaBeriot. So his body is desecrated before the creatures of the world. Explains Rabbeinu Yona. Ezeu kvod Torah. What does it mean, honoring Torah? It says, number one, shelo yanech sfarim bakarka. You have sfarim, you don't put them down on the floor. You respect the Torah, so you don't put books of Torah on the floor. Velo yishev basafsalu vekisei k'negdam b'shaveh. The person sees a sefer on a chair, he doesn't sit down right next to it. You put the sefer on a, you put it in a bag, you put it somewhere else, you don't sit down on the same bench as the Sefer Torah. V'achared al divrei Torah u'mechabed ota ve'et lomedeh. When a person learns something from Torah, he respects it. And when he sees someone who's learned Torah, he respects him. That's called he respects the Torah. She'devar yadua u'mechech ha'poskim ve'asvara notenet she'kol mi she'mdabir tov al ha'tovim ve'al ha'chachamim she'muchzakim bo she'u tzadik. It's known, and it also makes sense. You look at someone and you see the way they talk. When people say good things about good people, about correct people, so then you could know he's a proper person. This is the famous story we said about, I don't know if we said it here. Shlomo Melech. Okay. Yes, sir.
Does this tie back to the idea that we were talking about for the past couple of weeks that Rabbi Eliezer ben Shimon cut out his fat in the sun, and you had a Talmid Chacham on the case for security when even if everybody were to leave, he thinks if he stays in the middle of the forest, he would be fine because nothing would attack him.
And therefore what?
Because he honors the Torah, nothing.
Let's hear out Rabbeinu Yona. Let's hear him out. I don't remember this story accurately. I'll say it, but it's not accurate. I have to find it in the Midrash. In a nutshell, the story went that three people were traveling together, and on Shabbos, they all put their wallets, they hid their wallets together. And when they came back on Matzei Shabbos, all their wallets were gone. So they said, one of us three stole it. And they couldn't figure out who. So they went to Shlomo HaMelech, and they asked him to figure out who stole the wallets. They couldn't figure out who it was. You know the story? So you tell the continuation. The continuation, I don't remember accurately. So Shlomo told them a story. And he said to them, I want you to tell me who's the pious person in the story. And the story he told them, Ephraim will tell us now. I taught it 2 weeks ago to my kids, and I still forgot it. So the story Shlomo said was, there was a girl who promised a guy she would marry him when they were youngsters. And then when he went off to the army after many years, she decided she wants to marry someone else. So she said, I can't marry you without his permission. I promised him I'd marry him. So she traveled a long distance to get his permission to... and he gave her permission. He said, fine, if you love someone else now, you have my permission to marry someone else. As she's... she wants to come back, she gets captured by a group of bandits, and they want to violate her. And she says, hey, this, I was so faithful to him, and I traveled the whole distance to get his permission to be an honest person. You guys should also be honest people. Don't do this to me. Let me go back and be pure for my husband. So they hear the story, they hear how faithful she was, they let her go. So Shlomo says, tell me, who is the most admirable person in the story? Is it the first husband who forwent his rights? Is it the final husband who didn't tell her, let's get married in spite of your promise? Is it the lady who said, I have to keep my word, so she traveled to get his permission? Is it the bandits who, even though they had evil intentions, they had a change of heart and they decided to respect the fact that she wanted to be such a pure person? Who gets the most credit? So, okay, so one guy said the second husband is the guy who forewent all his rights. He had a right. He could have told her, no, you promised. The second guy said, the girl, she kept her word. She didn't have to, after so many years,
she could have asked for the vow to be annulled.
She was a minor. She could have found excuses. The third guy said, the third guy said, I have a hard time respecting anyone here. Those thieves, who would have known? So what? So she did an honest thing. The first husband, why does he have to give up his rights? He says, I don't know. He says to Shlomo HaMelech, it's hard to respect him. So Shlomo HaMelech says, you're the thief. Here, you didn't even have, you gained nothing from the story, right? I just told the story. And still, you couldn't see the good in people who did a good act. So when you saw other people's money, you certainly couldn't see the good in forgoing stealing from them. So Shlomo HaMelech, with this story, he discovered who of the three was the thief. He said, you gained nothing by saying that someone was positive, and yet you couldn't say that one of them was positive. So certainly where you thought you'd gain, you went ahead and took the money that wasn't yours. So that goes back to the concept that Rabbi Yonah just said. He said, when you see someone who looks at positive people and says positive about them, so then you know he's a positive person. Part of recognizing whether what type of person anyone is pay attention to how they speak about good things. Can they say good about what's good? That's that. Rabbeinu Yonah says that's mechabedet haTorah. We said he who honors Torah, so then he ultimately his body is honored. We'll see what that means in a second. But he's saying point one is it's a reflection of who a person himself is, and this is a very important gauge on multiple levels. Number one, many of you are dating. It's one of the things I used to pay attention to when I was dating. I discuss with the girl where she works and who her coworkers are, and if she's a teacher, who her students are. And I'd always be paying attention, how much positive does she have to say? Now, it could be she has a lousy boss and a lousy school, and it's a lousy year, and everything in her life is lousy. It could be. I'm not contesting that. But very often, after a date or two, you start seeing recurring themes. Now, I'm not coming to judge the other party. Very often what it reveals to us is our chemistry. It could be that with someone else she would be much more positive. It could be that with me, what I brought out in her was the complainer, the one who sees negative in life. That could be, but that's irrelevant. I have to see the reality that's in front of me. But when we meet people and we have to gauge what type of people they are, very often hearing how they describe other situations tells us a lot. In psychology, they say that people have recurring cycles in their life. People who view it as, my boss cheated me, will very often tell you their parents cheated them, will very often tell you their best friend cheated them, will very often have a recurring theme that, without their noticing, they very often will repeat that over and over again in different scenarios in their life. And this is something which a person can consciously change. We can change that, and it changes our whole perspective. Very often, a person views all of life as being miserable. Everyone's out to get everyone. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Everyone I've dealt with wasn't fair to me. Everyone I've dealt with wasn't good to me, wasn't kind to me. And there's truth in that, too. Every employee can look at his employer and say, they should have given me X number of benefits. They should have done Y on my behalf. They should have done Z on my behalf. If we work on ourselves, then we can view other aspects of it. And it ends up being a cycle in life. And that cycle can be very dangerous. I mean, you send your kid to school, and then if you're in this mode, so then at some point you're going to realize that the school did not live up to what you expected them to do. It could be that they gave more off days than you thought they would. It could be that they promised a certain number of trips and they didn't give it. And we're not talking about the question merely of do I have a good eye or a bad eye. Here we're talking about a slightly different aspect. It's how the cycle which we repeat as we go through life. And people don't notice it, but they end up seeing the same things over and over and over again in their encounters with people, in their business dealings. When you interview people, very often, if they'll be open with you, you'll see the cycle. It's rare that you find someone who tells you, out of three employers, one was great and two were horrible. Usually people will say, my employers were either... They'll say, my first employer was great. He gave me this, that, and other thing. I learned that. My second employer was an amazing experience. I got to work with people of this nature, that nature. My third employer wasn't exactly what I was looking for, but still it was a parnasa. And then you have the people who are the exact opposite. Every employer, you see this in the way people view life. People repeatedly see, and people don't notice it. But now that you're aware of it, coming back to Rabbeinu Yonah, when people can talk good about the good, so then they themselves are good people. V'chol adan otam lekaf chova v'lokech b'maseihim lomar she'inam mechuvanim v'no ro'eh liyot lehem zchut. Then you have people who they'll always tell you, I heard this rabbi was caught in a scandal, and I heard that one cheated the government, and they're always looking for something where I could say they're inappropriate. Uchshemdabrim lefanav min arshim atzdik maseihem. And then you try talking to him about people that are really wicked, and then he says, look, you can't blame them, you don't know their upbringing, maybe there's a reason why they're behaving this way. And you should know the reason that he looks at life that way, that when he looks at good people, he finds what's wrong with them, and when he looks at bad people, he finds what's good with them. So then you should know that at his core, there's something wrong. Not saying he's completely wicked, we're saying there's something wrong. He says, and don't question me on this, says Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm giving you a tool that allows you to understand the hearts of man. And we have a verse on this topic that King Solomon said. It says, "Matzref lakesef." You have the cauldron that's dedicated for purifying silver. Vekur lazahav, and the cauldron that purifies gold. Ve'ish lefi malalo, and man can be tested, can be distilled through what he praises. Look at what man praises, look at what he speaks highly of, and you'll understand you've distilled the person. Even though the verse in Shmuel says, man only sees the other man externally, you see his eyes. And God sees the heart, man doesn't see what's going on in a person's heart. That's talking about how faithful a person really is to Hashem. You want to know how faithful he is? You have no idea. He could be standing there shuckling his Shmoneh Esrei away, and you have no idea. He could have the longest beard, the longest payas, look like the most pious person in the world. You have no idea what's really going on in his heart. So that there, Chazal, there, the Navi tells us, man can only see the eyes. Man can only Hashem knows the heart. Shein koach adam lavrim chavroi mumin ki advarim amutznaim beribot aminim hemach bedibur nirim kemaminim. You could have a person who, in his heart of hearts, is completely not in line with his Creator, yet he always speaks like the most pious person. You have no way of knowing. So he says, in that area, we say, only God knows what's in the heart. But if you want to know what type of person he is, as far as his traits, there, Chazal say, you can see based on what a person praises. Yes?
You did say at some point you can't see if his argument is for the sake of heaven.
Right? So that's a different thing.
You don't think you can gauge it? You can gauge his fear of heaven by if his arguments are for the sake of heaven?
I don't know. No. People can play games for a very long time. Yeah. You can fool all the people some of the time. Gufo mechubad ala beriot. מן השמיים מסעין שיכבדו הבריאות אחר שהוא מכבד את התורה ועושה דברים שזכרנו. So from heaven they assist him that people honor him. He honors the Torah, so there's a special assistance from above that people will honor him. ובחילופיהן אמרו, and the opposite Chazal also said, כל המחלל את התורה, he who desecrates Torah, people will desecrate him. ויותר אלו אמרו, המגלה פנים בתורה, ואומר, למה הוא צריך לכתוב ותמנע את הפילגש חייצא בו? הרי זה מחלל את התורה. What does it mean, desecrate Torah? So he says, he quotes from the Talmud. The Talmud says, if someone reads the Torah and says, why does the Torah bother telling us who was the concubine of Eliphaz? So he looks down at words of the Torah. He says, you have a person who says, I have no idea why the Torah has to tell us all the sacrifices over and over again in the beginning of the book of Bamidbar. I have no idea why the Torah tells us all the details of the counting of Israel. That's true, we don't. We really don't. We have a lot of things in Torah that we don't understand. Why did the Torah go over the building of the Mishkan twice? The Torah tells you all the details of how it should be built, and then there's a repeat, this is how it was built. Why? Why is that important? I don't know. But that's, we're not mocking. We're not looking down. When we ask a question and we say we don't have the answer. We don't know. We respect the Torah. We know the words of Torah are precious. Every letter is precious. But we don't know why the Torah did that. Then you have a person who says, what did the Torah have to say that for? But he's saying it in a way that's looking down at the Torah. So there, Chazal said, that's called desecrating the Torah. Yes?
isn't it said that if you want to know a person, you can get them drunk?
It says there are three places where a person can be revealed. Koso, kiso, and kaso.
Yeah.
Koso, his drinking. Kiso, where he spends his money. And kaso, what happens when he gets angry.
Want to know what she is, you know, and then you said you shouldn't drink before getting married, you know, right? How are you supposed to know then?
Let's switch classrooms and then we'll see that Gemara inside.